You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, June the 5th, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we're kicking off another work week, and of course, what better way to kick it off than kicking it off with a new edition of the Daily Nationalist. Of course, we're going to keep reminding you, we're going to continue to have the links at the bottom of our description pages here to where you can contact Sven or send him financial support and encourage all of y'all to continue to do that. So we're not going to forget, and we're going to keep on trucking. It is great to have the opportunity to do another edition of the Daily Nationalist. This is really a learning experience for me. Doing news articles is not my forte, and I'm going to be mentioning this on my upcoming show of Parish of the Patriots, but it's a real adjustment thing for me. And you might think, well, you've been doing Daily Nationalist forever on Fridays, and yeah, but that's with Sven, and it's so much easier. I mean, we had done it for so long. It's like, okay, I look at an article and it's like, this article is this long and I can talk for this long in our segments and it'll work out just right. Having to do these by myself, this whole reading news articles thing solo is not my usual thing. It's a whole different thing when you have to do it by yourself. And without Sven here doing it with me, I'm having to like try to pick longer articles. I'm having to like have second articles as a backup plan in case one article doesn't take up enough time. You know, my clock of how long I can monologue in between segments is all screwed up because now I'm doing all of the talking. So what I'm basically rambling around and saying is the quality is going to go up on the Daily Nationalist. I know it's taking a dive now, but this is just kind of a learning curve for me. I'm going to get it all ironed out. I'm just not used to doing this sort of format. So bear with me. Don't bail. It is going to get better. I am determined to make it better. Well, of course, we are doing the Daily Nationalist, and we have an article. And this is going to come from RT. And I have to tell a funny story on myself because, I mean, I was all pumped to do this story. And I barely escaped embarrassing myself. And the fact that I'm going to tell you all this story. See, I could have just kept this story to myself and y'all would have been like, that GPD, he's so smart. See, but I'm going to tell this story on myself anyway, just because it's funny. I have no problem laughing at myself. I don't overly take myself overly seriously. And I mean, I was all pumped to do this story, which is titled Jail White Man to Save the Planet. Jane Fonda. And I was thinking about this story before recording it, and I knew which story I wanted to do. And I've actually had this one. This one's actually from back on May 28th, and I've been holding on to it, and I'm wanting to do this story for the Daily Nationalist. And I'm sitting around this morning getting psyched up. I'm psyching myself up to do the Daily Nationalist. And I already had a title picked out, and it was going to be Jane Fonda, Ultimate Boomer. And I was going to that way I thought the article isn't that long and I can take up the time doing boomer material, which of course is always fun. And of course I always ultimately wind up hearing back, you know, it's like, shut up about the boomers. Even though I'm an Xer, and I always like to point out to people that I'm a Gen Xer, even though I'm an early Xer, and like young people assume I'm a boomer, and I have to correct them. I'm not a boomer. I'm an Xer. And they just laugh like, okay, enjoy that like 2 or 3 years difference there that separates you. Anyway, I would have embarrassed myself because I did do my research. And actually, Jane Fonda, she's older than I thought she was. I thought she was a hot young babe in her 70s. But it turns out she's a hot young babe in her early 80s. So actually, Jane Fonda is a silent generation. So you see, boomers are off the hook here. But she was just a boomer ahead of her time. She's a boomer ahead of her time. So now I've got to come up with another title for this Daily Nationalist. And I think it'll be something like, you know, Jane Fonda, ultimate celebrity activist, or some other thing. But it's not going to have the same ring. It's not going to have the same ring as ultimate boomer. I may just use ultimate boomer anyway. Even having said this, just to have people say, shut up. She's not a boomer. And you don't know what you're talking about. And these shows are extremely unprofessional. That'll get people motivated to be writing to the justice system in Britain's like, y'all got to let Sven out. We can't take any more of this. Before we get into this story, talking about boomers. And see, and y'all are like, well, why are you talking about boomers? Because you just said Jane Fonda's not a boomer. Because I had already had this boomer material I wanted to share. And if I don't share it, then the article is not... The show won't last the 30 minutes, and it's good material. It's good material. Of course, regular listeners of my show, I know, like, if you don't listen to Parish of the Patriots and for whatever reason, you just decide you like missing out, you might be ruffled, you know, especially if you're a boomer. You might be ruffled. Like, I don't want to hear this boomer stuff. I'm always hearing this boomer stuff. See, regular boomer listeners to my show, they understand. They don't take this stuff serious. They know how I am about that. You know, we know not all boomers, but we're still going to have fun talking about boomers. And like I say, to me, the joke comes from the fact that I only missed being a boomer by just a few years. and I make a joke of the fact that the magic few years, see, that makes the difference. So what I guess it comes around to is, even if I were a boomer, even if I, you know, didn't have the magic couple of years that separates me into being an Xer, I would still be doing this material. Let's get the joke. Speaking of boomers, I was in town. Yes, we're going to do the news article. This is me taking up time so that we full 30 minutes. And it's still fun and entertaining. I was in town here a while back. And I was at a place to eat, you know. And there was a couple there. And I knew they were boomers. Well, because obviously because of their age. But the fact that they were obviously on a date. They like you have these old people here, and I can say that as somebody that's not considered young. You have these old people here and act like a teenage couple on a date, you know, and it is so humorous to me because I'm sitting here watching these people, and this old lady, you know, she's doing her fawning teenage girl thing, you know, sitting right next to this guy, you know, looking at him and, you know, touchy, and I'm just like, you a grandma? What the hell? You know, it just looks so comical to me. So comical to me to see this old lady, you know, acting like a teenage girl on a date. And you'd be sitting here going, you probably got that all wrong, GPD. You know, there's old couples that are still very much in love. Now, let me tell you something. No, nobody been married a long time is going to act like that. You know what? I know it. Old people dating. You know, and it's always funny when you talk to somebody and they're old and they're like, oh, well, I was talking to my girlfriend the other day. It's like, girlfriend? Bruh, you ain't got no girlfriend. You know, I mean, you know, like if you were some rich celebrity, yeah, you might have a girlfriend like she in her early 20s, mid 20s or something. But you ain't that. You ain't got no girlfriend. You come up with some other terms. Lady friend. Where I live. It's by and large like a retirement type of community. You know, I mean, the town has a lot of older people all retirement. And it always amazes me. For whatever reason, these older people, they got to go out. So many of them, they go out and buy a Corvette. What is it with these folks and buying Corvettes? I don't understand. And you see them in this super high dollar fast Corvette. And of course they just doodling along driving like old people, like all old people, only they in this ridiculous looking expensive fast car. And I just always imagine the dialogue. I always wanted a Corvette, so I went and bought one. And you driving like 30 in a 55. All the rest of us having to go around them. Because I had to have that new Corvette. I always wanted one of these ever since I was a kid. Now I'm getting one. See, I had to use my material. Even though Jane Fonda's not a boomer, I had to use the material. Let's get into the article because it does have a point. And it is, and the points I wanted to make have nothing to do really with her being a boomer so much. But it does have to do with these leftist activists and especially more specifically celebrity activists, because you can be a celebrity on any scale. And I don't know who I know who Jane Fonda is, but like I'll read some article and they're going on about some singer or some Hollywood star, you know, and it's like, I don't know who any of these people are. They write the articles like you should know who they are, but I don't know who any of these people are. And they all act the same when it comes to this actor. And they all think they're going to be some activists, you know. And they always take up the same exact causes. Now, you know, this gets into where we'll get into it. Let's get into the story. I've rambled long enough without even getting into the story here. So, yeah, as I said, the story is titled Jail White Man to Save the Planet, Jane Fonda, with the byline of the Hollywood star insisted that climate change would not exist without racism and the patriarchy. Humanity's best chance to save the planet from climate change lies in locking up white men, Hollywood actress Jane Fonda told an audience at the Cannes Film Festival on Saturday. It's funny because these people, these Hollywood people are so vain, you know, it would make her mad doing the voice like that because she's still in her mind wanting to think like she's young and hot. This is serious. We've got about 7 or 8 years. I have been hearing we've got short amount of years to until climate Armageddon. I'm in my 50s now, and I've been hearing this my whole damn life. This old hag is in her 80s. She in her 80s and acting like she's saying something new. She remembers when Al Gore said that by 2012 we's all going to be underwater. She remembers that. She's just pretending like she don't know. She's pretending like she... She remembers the 70s when we were told that in just a few short years we were all going to be under ice because of the coming ice age. She remembers that. She might not. She might be getting senile or something. But she does. She does. She remembers that. They just lie. All these people just lie. They say this stuff they know is not true. Doesn't matter. It makes them feel better about themselves. All of these Hollywood people, they're all managed. They're all managed. I was thinking of something the other day, and it's like this. It's when you see these people, when you see these celebrities, whether they're actors, music entertainers, whatever, and they're presented to you as a celebrity, on some level or another, they've sold their soul. I don't mean like the devil literally knocked on the door and said, I got this contract for you. But he basically shows up and has a contract for them. You see it. If you pursue money long enough, I'm getting off on tangents. Okay, because this article's not that very long. So I've got room for my rambling this week. Don't worry. But if you pursue money, if money is your idol, if money is your God, if you pursue money long enough, if that's the focus of your life and you do it successfully, because you can be pursuing money and like be really bad at it. You just poor, just wishing you had money. Then you just wind up with a bunch of debt. See, that's that trap. But if you pursue it's the focus of your life and you're successful at it long enough, I'm going to tell you something kind of profound here. If you go down that road long enough, at some point in time, you're going to meet the devil on that road. You're going to meet the devil on that road. And he's going to say, well, you've come this far. You've done good. You made it here. Now, to go any further, I got a deal for you. And how that's presented, I don't know. He ain't going to present me no deal. But they make a deal. You see all these people. There's a reason. Like when all of these singers, these celebrities in the music industry and whatnot, you know, and they come out and they do these videos and all their videos are full of triangles and one eye imagery and call it Illuminati, whatever, but it's satanic. They do all of this satanic imagery. They holding up the triangle over their eyes and doing all. And I don't know. People blow that off. And they're like, oh, well, they're just edgy. They just doing that because they think they're being edgy. No, they're not. They have them to do some kind of like, there's some requirement. There's like a spiritual requirement to like publicly declare yourself for Satan. Anyway, I could get off into that whole deal, but I've seen, you see these people and it's like, oh, yesterday they were nobody. Today they're a big name star and they're out there and they're doing all of this. These people are all managed. Every aspect, when they, part of the deals they make to become celebrities means every facet, every aspect of their life is managed. And it really requires selling your soul. Like I say, it may not be a contract that says you will give your soul, but it really requires selling your soul. If you're a younger person and you make this deal and you agree that every aspect of your life is managed now because you're a property of this production company, music company, whatever the case may be, then they literally manage every aspect of your life. If they come to you and say, well, we've decided what will really give your career a boost is we need to leak a degenerate sex tape of you. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to go do a degenerate sex tape so it can be leaked on the internet. You have made that agreement. You signed on the dotted line. So it's required of you. It's what it means. You sold your soul. It don't mean like you're going to see a contract and do like a blood thumbprint. Though that might be part of it too. I don't know. But it means you're going to be managed and you are going to do everything that you are told. Including the lying about the, you know, pretending like you don't know that we've been hearing about how the world's ending tomorrow because of this climate nonsense. Okay, let's get back on track here. This is serious, she says. We've got about 7 or 8 years to cut ourselves in half. I think that's just an old person moment here. We're not going to cut ourselves in half. Just not the best wording. Cut ourselves in half of what we use of fossil fuels. And unfortunately, the people that had the least responsibility for it are hit the hardest. And I got to stop here. I got to stop here from there. I don't buy. Now, y'all might say I'm going flat earth on this or something, but the more I think about it, I hate that term, fossil fuels. I ain't an expert, which means I'm probably right, because we know how the experts' track records are here in the West. But I don't buy this whole oil, you know, petroleum products. The more I think about it, the more I don't buy this BS that it comes from fossils, that it's fossil-based. I think that's a lie. How many damn dinosaurs was there? They talked about, oh, fossil fuels, you see, the dinosaurs were walking the earth. I remember being taught this back in school, back, you know, in the same class where they were telling us by 1982, we were all going to be under a sheet of ice because there was a new climate disaster, ice age coming. And we need to adopt a global communism. It's the only answer. It's funny because the narratives change, but the answer stays the same. We're going to be, okay, and we're going to run out of oil because, you know, there's only so many dinosaurs, you know, and you got these dinosaurs and the plants and everything and they decompose. And instead, just like everything else you see that decomposes and just turns back into dirt, well-fertilized dirt, these dinosaurs and the plants back then were different. They turned into dirt and then they turned into oil. So the more I think about it, the more I think that's, I think that's nonsensical. I suspect the earth just naturally produces oil, you know, probably from things in the core and the heat coming up from the earth's core and when certain minerals and elements are present, it turns these things into oil. I don't know. That's just a guess. But I think this whole thing where oil comes from dinosaur fossils, I think that's another lie. This is my gut tells me this is another lie. Let's get back and find out what Jane Fonda's gut is telling her. It's probably telling her it's time for her latest colonoscopy is probably what her guts are telling her. Oh, let's see here. We got 8 years to we're all going to die. We got to cut ourselves in half what we use of fossil fuels. And unfortunately, the people have the least responsibility for it are hit the hardest. Global South. People on islands. Poor people of color. You see, poor white people, they ain't suffering from it. See, you got to be a poor person of color because the climate change hates the darker your skin tone is, the more the climate hates it. So if you are a poor white person, you're fine. The climate don't necessarily hate you. Now, how are they? How does she say that, knowing full well that tornadoes target trailer parks? And who lives in trailer parks? Poor white people. How come she can't explain that? Only poor people of color. Meanwhile, poor white people of color, they're the ones that the climate actually hates, because the damn tornado is always trying to swoop in to the trailer park. Okay, poor people of color, the Barbarella star, and I see Barbarella star. I have no idea what that is. I'm not looking it up. I'm assuming it's some film for old people. Explained, insisting it's a tragedy that we have to absolutely start. Or, I'm sorry, absolutely stop. And then, of course, here's the money quote. We have to arrest and jail those men. They're all men. Wouldn't it be nice? I wish there was a way possible to take like 2 weeks and every white man, like on the face of this earth, would just drop out of society. It was like, we all gonna have like, we're gonna go somewhere, or we're just gonna stay home. But we're staying home for 2 weeks, no matter what your job is. If you're a white guy, you're staying home for 2 weeks. It's a mandatory. We're going to say there's a new racism virus, and it's being spread by white people, by white men. So white men have to stay home. No going to work for 2 weeks. This entire clown show would crash and burn. Can you imagine? All these women and our precious, you know, all these women and people of color running everything. No white dudes to come in and fix any of this. I would love to, like, what's this old bag going to do? If white people don't keep her electricity on, if white people don't keep her internet running, if white people don't keep keeping the society wheels grinding forward, what's it, was she going to run around and, like, be on survivalist? Old bitch probably breaks her hip getting out of her car. She tried to, we gotta get rid of white men. Lady, you wouldn't survive in a world without white men for 5 minutes. Your geriatric care isn't going to last 5 minutes. I hope there ain't no white men in the nursing home you stay at. Without naming any of the men she believed were responsible for the looming demise of the planet, Fonda went on to draw connections between Earth and its minority inhabitants, arguing there would be no climate crisis if there was no racism. There would be no climate crisis if there was no patriarchy. White men are the things that matter, and then everything else is at the bottom. So here we go. Here we've gotten to her, the crux of her argument. Here we've got to the core of her argument. White men, you see, white men. And this is the mindset of the ultimate shill activist. These people, whether they boomers or whoever they are, the celebrity activists especially, is, you know, they think, they like to pretend that they're speaking to, that was a saying back then, they're speaking truth to power. She probably in her mind is thinking she's standing up there and she's being so brave. Let me tell you, lady, if white men were running everything the way you say they are, the all-powerful white men running everything and controlling the planet and purposely decimating the environment or whatever, you wouldn't be allowed to talk about them like that. It would be so fun. This is why they have to. This is why censorship is so necessary, because these people, you know, if they run into opposing views, they have to be like protected. And what I don't mean like protected from physical violence. You know, that's why they had to redefine people pointing out the truth as like making them feel unsafe. You know, we have to have a safe environment for everybody. It's like, it's Twitter. Nobody's going to get killed on Twitter, I can assure you. These words are violence. They have to be protected, because they crash into a wall if reality is pointed out to them. She has to be protected by censorship. If you didn't have the censorship, imagine what the world would be like. You get some moron celebrity, whether it's Jane Fonda or any of these other people, and they stand up there and act like they're so brave, they're speaking truth to power, and they're so brave, they are so edgy at 80-something years old, that they're calling to jail all white men because they're what's wrong with... there. What's wrong with everything on the planet? Imagine. Imagine if they weren't protected by censorship. Imagine you have somebody like Jane Fonda standing up here talking bravely, thinking in her mind she's being so brave. She's speaking truth to power. And she's standing up there and she alone at 80-something years old has the guts to stand up and proclaim that, you know what? If we want to really fix things, we need to start throwing white men into camps. We need to start jailing white men because they're going to kill everybody. They're going to kill the Africans. They're going to kill everybody with their patriarchy and racism. The only answer is to lock them up. Can you imagine being able to stand up and say, I have a question? And ask her, are Jews white? Can you imagine? Like I can. Because I can imagine the look of short-circuiting here. Uh-oh. Warning. Warning, warning, landmine in the area. You could be detonated if you answer the wrong answer. Because there's no way out. Because obviously if she says, well, yes, then you're calling for another Holocaust. You're calling for Jews to be put back in camps. No. Oh my gosh, no. No. But you're saying it's okay to put white people in camps. Well, yes, because that's different. Well, would you agree that Palestinians are basically being kept in camps? When it comes to Israel's policies. Whoa, warning. That's why they have to have censorship. Because, like, their quote-unquote, what amounts to their arguments cannot stand up to criticism based in truth. Whether the person presenting them is eloquent or not is almost irrelevant. It's better if they are. It's better if they can frame these things, and not sound like a raving lunatic. But at the end of the day, if somebody confronts them with truth, they know their arguments can't hold any water. You see these people, all of these celebrity quote-unquote activists, and they're always so brave. They speak in truth to power, and it's always running down white people. I was running down white people and they pretend like they're being brave. They convince themselves that they're being brave. If we solve the climate crisis and we haven't solved all those other things, we're going to be in trouble. The Clute actress warned. I love how they have to remind us what she's been in, because you ain't even going to remember anything this old bag's been in. Young people are probably like, I don't even know who this old lady is. If it's a normal society, she'd just be somebody's Nana, like, Nana, bake me some cookies. No, I gotta tell you about patriarchy and the racism. As long as these people, and this is, like I say, this is the quintessential ultimate celebrity activist. They LARP like they're speaking truth to power. How come there's never any pushback? How become going on about if all of this is being caused by racism and the patriarchy, how come she can stand up there and freely talk about it and nobody's criticizing her? It is like the absolutely safest thing to do. It's the absolute safest thing to talk about. Like if you're a comedian and you're doing jokes, the only group that it's safe to talk about are regular straight white men. You can make all the jokes about them you want to. You don't have to worry. No landmines present. You step outside of that and you're liable to get in trouble. And yet we're supposed to be convinced, you're supposed to believe that this is the center of all the power in the world. Fonda, a frequent environmental campaigner, was arrested several times in 2019 protesting outside the U.S. Capitol alongside other celebrities aiming to bring attention to climate change and themselves through civil disobedience. It sounds like an insurrection to me. So if she was outside the Capitol, sounds like she was planning to overthrow the democracy of our values and who we are. It sounds like an insurrection. How come she obviously just got off with a slap on the wrist? Because she stays within the bounds. See, she stays within bounds. She's just promoting the narrative. Nice and safe. The actress defended her telegenic lawbreaking from critics who derided the publicity stunts, arguing, if you're a celebrity, you have a responsibility to use that celebrity, especially when the future of mankind is at stake. Her critics included then U.S. President Donald Trump, who complained she's always got the handcuffs on. Don't you just love, though, the self-aggrandizement if you're a celebrity, you have a responsibility to use your celebrity for activism. Especially when the future of mankind is at stake. Imagine being able to tell yourself that you are so important that you're having the future of humanity itself. And how dare she say, how dare she say the future of mankind? See, this is, again, they don't get called out. The future of mankind, Ms. Fond? The future of mankind? Are you forgetting, what about women? That's a very iffy statement. I think that's a term that's no longer allowed to be used. So I wind up laughing at these people when they get eaten by their own, you know, when they step on something inadvertently because they can keep up with the latest terminology, which is changing like every day. It's always funny. Always funny when they step on one of those mines and it blows up. The future of mankind. Imagine telling yourself that you're so important. You're using your celebrity status. And it's like, I hate to tell this old bag, but ain't nobody even really consider her a celebrity no more. She just, and you know, younger people know who you are. You know, you're not hot anymore. You're not young and fine. You're some old lady and you look silly out there. See, that's why I assumed she was a boomer, because it's like never escaping the 1960s, because that was kind of her highlight. That was her heyday. You know, she went over to Vietnam, to the North Vietnamese side, and got filmed standing up for communists. So brave. So lucky she wasn't attacked by the media. Fonda has engaged in political activism throughout her career, drawing harsh criticism in the 1960s for her outspoken opposition to the Vietnam War. She recently drew attacks following an appearance on The View, in which she suggested women resort to murder in defense of their right to abortion in the wake of the Supreme Court's reversal of Roe versus Wade. So she was calling for women to start murdering people. See, of course, we all know, as part of censorship, if they will always claim that people speaking the truth are inciting. You're inciting violence. You're inciting this, that, or the other. And someone like this, who makes sure that their public protesting and all of their speaking, you know, stays within the narrative box, they can openly call for murder. They can call for rounding people up and putting them into camps. And you see, there's no pushback. That's not to whine about double standards. We understand why there's double standards. We ain't whining about that. It's not fair. Jane Fonda should be locked up for incitement. How come she's not locked up for incitement? That's not the point. The point is that there is no justice. The justice system is basically used to silence political dissidents and political opposition. B, these people can tell themselves all day long that they're speaking truth to power and they're standing up, and that's a lie. And deep down inside, they know it's a lie. They know their lives are managed. They've been managed their entire lives. And because they're managed their entire lives, when they're old lady like this, they're comfortable with it. They've just found a way to just accept that. Speaking truth to power, and they just stay within that narrative box. They can sit there and call for people to be murdered. They can sit there and call for people to be rounded up and put into camp simply for their race, which is what this whole entire article is about. And she's quietly applauded. She gets polite applause at the Cannes Film Festival. And because of the censorship, they don't ever have to worry. They don't ever have to worry about having their views questioned, their views called into question, their views challenged with truth. We're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you enjoyed today's show, and I'm sorry for my rambling. Like I said before, really, honestly, you know, in all seriousness for a change, you know, I really am trying to get the hang of doing the Daily Nationalist show. You know, like I say, news articles, a news article-based show has never been what I do. But, you know, and the Friday Daily Nationalist, that's different because I've always had Sven, and we go back and forth, and it's just, it makes it fun. And doing a solo show with these new articles, I'm really trying to get my groove on that. So bear with me while I work through that. I think it's working out so far. That's my opinion. You may think I'm in touch with reality as Jane Fonda. I don't know. But yeah, bear with me. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Obviously, my Parish of the Patriot show will be up tomorrow. Dr. Johnson's show Wednesday, Orthodox Nationalist. Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday for his Daily National Show, and I'll be back on Friday for the Daily National Show. See, we're going to continue having stuff up. There's stuff to look forward to, and I hope you join us. I hope you'll catch each and every show here on Radio Albion. So stay safe, enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.